Carol, that was great. Becky and I watched that couple week long series on country music back last month, and to that last note, I thought you were going to break into yodeling a little bit for us.
Whether you knew it or not, many of those who started in country music and were the great hits were actually gospel singers. And there's a great tie between the country music, back home music for humans that know what I'm talking about, and the movement now. We go to the book of 1 Thessalonians, if you would, beginning with chapter 1, verse 1, and we read the following. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of Thessalonians, in God and the Father and the Lord of Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for you, all of you, and continue to mention you in our prayers. We remember that before our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, give us your blessing today. Be in our midst and indwell us with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may understand and share that good news of Jesus, that we may love others because you first loved us. We have friends, family, and brothers and sisters that are in hospitals and nursing homes, rehabilitation. Be with them. Be with their families that are caregivers. Be with those who need your help daily, just sometimes just for us to get by. We pray for those who are on points of decision, have decisions to make about where to live and what to do and how to deal with the problems of this world. We pray, Father, for those that are in nursing homes or in family homes that need help. We pray for those who are missionaries in foreign fields and the military, who need your strength and guidance and are serving us to keep us free and the ability to worship and serve you. Father, we pray for the first offenders and those who are the line that helps us daily, our police and our schools and our doctors and our nurses and hospitals and all. Bless them. But most of all, Father, we pray for Jesus, that he comes back and takes us to be with him one day, saying, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Be the speaker, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. One interesting dude we've been studying lately, and we'll continue on. His name was Paul. Paul, at his lifetime, was probably the most learned, intelligent, versed, and prepared teacher, maybe of all times. He had the best of teachers before him, and as he was a Jewish young scholar. He was a Pharisee, came from a well-to-do family because he shared both Hebrew citizenship by his mother and Roman citizenship by his father, which came in handy for him several times. And Paul was the best of what he did whenever he did it. When he hated Jesus, when he hated the Christians early in his unintelligible life, he went after them with full authority, capturing some, arresting some, maybe even being a part of the murder of some early Christians. Yet, when God caught him on the road and blinded him by the light, and he heard the words, "Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me?" "Who are you?" Paul answered. He was curious. He didn't know if he was facing death. He thought he may not be able to see again, but he wanted to know why this was going on. And when the voice said, "This is the same Jesus that you persecute," Paul said, "I've got to change my life. I'm not doing things right." And he was not afraid to admit it. You know, a lot of times when we make mistakes, we don't want to be around anybody that's going to call us out or tell us that. And you don't like to see that. If you're a Georgia or if you're a Florida fan last night, I'm predicting you that that first series of downs, when they got three chances to go 4 inches and they made the wrong call all three times, was the end of the game. They might as well go home. That decision was cast. Well, a lot of times, it's our own fault in the situation we're in. We make the wrong moves. We make the wrong calls. And then we're ashamed to admit it, and we don't. The problem is, Paul knew when he was wrong. He admitted it and sought help. And he became the great teacher. Now, Paul pretty much was called the apostle to the Gentiles. Yes, he was a Jew, but there were other apostles that were teaching the Jews. And there was a lot bigger world than just Jerusalem. And he traveled. We know of the three missionary journeys he went on, each one with a purpose. Now, I wish I could tell you that everyone he preached to, and every village he went to, and every soul he went after, he was successful, but it's not true. Because we as human beings have the opportunity to say yes or no to Jesus, to say yes or no to God. And it becomes no one's own fault but our own when we refuse doing the right things. So Paul, at times, was run out of town, stoned, people arrested because of him, shipwrecked, jailed, in prison. And there's a big difference between being in jail and being in prison in those days. Paul did not have an easy life once he became a Christian. He does not seem to apologize that for all. In his journey, he had been in a city called Philippi. Those people did not want to hear what he had to say, because he pretty much corrected them in the way they were living. They had been a ruckus bunch. They had their own gods. They had their own beliefs. They were a coarse bunch. Now, I thought coarse was salt. Remember, if you grew up on a farm, you had coarse cattle salt. That old rough stuff, you know. That's not what a word. The word coarse actually comes from a Latin word called vulgar or vulgate. The Latin Bible that was translated to the people was called the Latin Vulgate. It was written for the common folks. Now, we've taken that word common or vulgate, vulgar, into a different meaning, pretty much meaning it's nasty words and nasty actions that we do. That's coarse. That's vulgar. And there were a bunch of coarse people there. Even those who acted like they were followers seemed to be pretty loose in it. I make no apology. Matter of fact, I'm kind of bragging that I've lived to be 68 years of age. I remember black and white Disney. The Disney Family Hour came on and cut in living color. I remember when most of the shows we saw, at least before 8 o'clock at night, were family wholesome TV shows. Now, I don't remember it until the first time I saw it myself, but Rhett Butler with a response to Scarlett O'Hara, "What am I to do?" And he said, "Frankard, I don't give a blanky blank blank." And it shocked people. Do you remember in the early 70s when Archie Bunker came on and used... Oh, some of you remember that far back, huh? Okay. When we heard words that we never heard amongst, quote, polite people. And you would never say those words in front of your grandparents. No, thank you very much. You would never think about that. We live in a coarse and common society today. There seems to be no bridles on the horses' mouths anymore when people talk. And I don't know about you, but foul language offends me. And especially if it involves the name of my God or his son, Jesus the Christ, which seems to be common anymore. Where has culture gone? Well, let me tell you where culture's gone. There's a screen that's up now. It used to be a filter screen. Now it's just the opposite. It's a screen that's wide open, which allows Satan to tell us that it's okay. Everybody's doing it. I mean, there are television movies and radio, not radio movies, television and radio and movies that add few vulgar words just so they can get a worse rating and make more people want to come and see them. Isn't it sad that a country that was semi, at least we claim, to be based on the Bible and God's Word and God's love, has become a vulgar and a nasty place? And I used to think it was just teenage kids, but I'm out in the public a lot now, and it amazes me the language of our senior citizens as well. Like, it doesn't matter whom you hurt. Well, that's what Paul was running into 2,000 years ago. And when he stood up against vulgarity and sin and Satan, they ran him out of town. There he came to the town of Thessalonica. Now, they were a different group of people. They were interested in what Paul had to say and came and listened to him speak. They were mostly Gentile Christians, as they became. There were very few Jews, although a couple of Jews are mentioned in there specifically. But they were just absorbing the good news. I could not have told you 10 years ago that we would have sat 10 nights in a row and listened to 2 to 3 hours of country music. And I played some of it the second time because it was just so good. Little Jimmy Dickens. I can name them for the rest until time's up, but I'm not going to. But I mean, it was amazing how our attitudes can change when we hear something good that we like. Paul did that for them. And after he began to get so popular, it says he stayed 3 Sabbath days. That was his normal, to go into a congregation, to a synagogue, and preach there 3 days in a row and see how it went. Then he would usually leave and go somewhere else. Well, this time, he probably stayed the next 6 months there preaching just to the Gentiles. Success often breeds contempt. And as the apostle preached, the crowds at the congregations got larger and larger. People began to give up the old ways. Well, that's pretty good. Unless you're the people that are being given up on. And they went after him again. And finally, Timothy and Silas and Paul left and went to the city of Berea, which was a very intelligent town, a town that looked him up and checked their words and checked their words against the Old Testament because they wanted to make sure he was teaching right. Folks, I would be nothing better than thrilled if every one of you had your Bible turned to the page of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and read with me. And make sure, because that's your responsibility, to make sure that every teacher and preacher that you hear are telling you God's word. Well, it goes on, they would separate for a while, and Paul would get back in touch with the Thessalonians, and the church would grow. Verse 2, he starts out with Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We always thank God for all of you. The Eastern Kentucky Mountain Bible says for y'all. Some of you know what I'm talking about. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor produced by love, prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is giving God the credit. Yes, the church was growing. Yes, it was still successful, even though Paul and them were gone from town. But God's will was worked out. Now, folks, I've heard people say, well, it would be easy to be a Christian if I could have seen Jesus walk on the water, if I could have eaten some of that bread from the 5,000, the 4,000, another time, some of the fish. It would have been easy to follow Jesus if I'd have seen him to raise up the son of the widow of Nain. All these things would have been easy if I'd have just been there. Wrong! Because the people who were there at the time didn't hardly believe him either. If you want to be a doubter, you're going to be a doubter. If you want to be a believer, you're going to study about it and give it over. See, we have no vision of Jesus except what's described for us in the Old and New Testament. And the Old Testament talks about it too. We're finding that out as we go through the book of Isaiah on Wednesdays. But through the writing of eyewitnesses, we see what he was and what he did and what he meant. And that's where the faith issue comes in. Oh, I believe if I did this. Let me ask a stupid question. This actually has a background. We married in 1970. Went to live in Johnson City, Tennessee. And beside us, we were in a complex that was half college students and half senior citizens. And the old boy right next to us, Walter, I think his name was, Becky's shaking her hand, so it's Walter. Nice that we have the radio going back and forth. She knows what I'm saying. And Walter said, what you believe? He'd never been out of East Tennessee but more than 3 miles. What you believe? They really been up there on that moon? Yes, Walter, I do. Had they been there, they'd all been walking upside like down, like looking at us upside down. So they couldn't have been there. So if I really was to believe that they was on that moon, I'd have to go up there with them. Thinking, no, Walter, I don't think that would be a good idea. Your tobacco juice would have gotten all over the space capsule and it'd just been a mess. I believe they were there. Now, I've never met any of the astronauts. But I believe they were there. But a lot of things we give faith to there and don't give it to God. He's teaching them about the faith in God and the love they have, what good things will come from that, and how much we miss it out when we do not accept what God has taught us. And what a shame it is to miss it. See, it's our choice. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whomsoever, that's all inclusive, believeth in Him shall never perish but have everlasting life. And of course with Peter, Simon Peter, on the day of Pentecost, what must we do? Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're told that Christ is for all, just all doesn't choose Christ. And that is our problem and responsibility. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power. And with the Holy Spirit, a deep conviction. Now that line has been accused by some for predestination. That God has already decided who's going to get saved and who's not. And the truth is, He has. Oh, wait a minute, Dwight, what did you just say? Here's how He's decided. If you love me, if you love my Son, if you confess Him as your Savior, if you are baptized, then I have chosen to accept your request to be with my Son Jesus in heaven. That's what's been predetermined. Here are the rules. Follow them. You are successful. You've been taken care of. God's brought you. God will bring you in. Disobey them, and you bear your own consequences. So because of that, the love is there. And if we fail, we fail ourselves. No one else fails us. For once we've been introduced to the gospel, it is totally up to us to obey the message. And what about this one? The gospel came not with just words, but with power. And the Holy Spirit was active in those days. And He blessed them. Well, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit's active today. He works in our lives when we allow it to. Now, I don't much want to get in a hot debate about speaking in tongues and walking through fire and all that kind of stuff. What I want to say is the Holy Spirit is active in our lives to support us. Acts, the first chapter. Go and wait in Jerusalem, and I will send a comforter to you. And they went and waited until the day of Pentecost, and the comforter came. So the God's power is in America with us today. The God's power is in the world for those who allow Him to work in their lives. And if we don't see the God's working within us, then maybe we're not looking hard enough, or we're not trying hard enough to be a part of the kingdom. It's really up to us. American life self-determination until it's something that we want somebody to do for us. This is something we have to do. Accept Jesus. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcome the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Archaea. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only Macedonia and Archaea. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Imprinting. You take an elementary class in psychology, you hear the word animal imprinting. They say that the first motion a duck sees, the first thing that moves a duck sees or a goose sees, becomes its mother. And they've done that. Let a bunch of hatchlings come up in an incubator, and then let a dog go in there, and they'll follow that dog as their mother would. They would do their mother. It's imprinting. We copy often what we see. You've seen the commercial for years ago when they decided tobacco was bad, and there was a little boy and his father and his father out in the woods, and the father sits down against a tree, and the boy sits down against a tree, and the father picks up a pack, takes a cigarette out, puts it in his mouth, and the little boy takes his pack up, takes a cigarette out, puts it in his mouth. We often follow what we've seen others do. Well, who's your example? If it's not someone that's godly, or the life of one of the apostles, or the life of Christ, then we may be following the wrong example. And if you've ever worked in a public school, you've seen examples where other kids follow the wrong kid. and get themselves in trouble or hurt. But we should imprint upon Paul and Peter. You know, Dwight, but those guys all died. Well, let me tell you a little secret. You probably never figured out yet. We're all going to die. Unless the rapture comes first. And then it won't matter anyway. It's what you do between now and then that makes the difference. And again, that's all about us. He's given us a positive attitude. We do determine the things that we can touch and control. We should make it the right things. Not everything that goes well. Sometimes others have influence on our lives that we can't affect. How we respond to it is often how we're affected. The Lord's message rang out. Others knew it. Rang a bell. Back in the old country, a particular place where mountains were, their communication, their public communication was usually ringing the bell. If you lived on a farm or a ranch, two rings or three rings would be supper time. A bunch of rings in a row would mean there was trouble, get home quick. There was a lot of communication that way. Whether when we act and other people see how we act, it would be a good communication to others. Right halfway between Lexington and Georgetown, right on the county line, there was a big liquor store. It was a fear of my life. It was a bad four-way stop. That I would pull out from that four-way stop, and about that time a beer truck would hit me and drive me into the parking lot of the liquor store, and I'd be dead with beer flowing all over my head. I've never told Becky that, I don't think. That was nightmares to me. Killed by a beer truck in a liquor store parking lot. I mean, goodness gracious. So far it hadn't happened. It won't happen there because they tore the liquor store down last time we were back. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave them. When others came along, good news travels. And if you've attended more than one church, and I suspect most of you have attended a lot more than one church. Some of you have preached, Joe, in more than one church. Richard, I know you have too. If you've attended several different congregations, you can pretty much tell the demeanor of that church with a visit or two. Are they friendly? Are they happy? Do they act like they're glad they were there? Does a song go like this? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how... Seriously, isn't that a pretty good giveaway? Yeah. Or do people leave saying, I don't know what it is. It ain't the fat little preacher. The people are friendly and the food's really good, but it's the people. They want us to be with them. They like, and most of you tell me this has been a friendly congregation when you came there. See? Paul told us that 1900 plus years ago. The reputation got out that the church in Thessalonica was a loving, caring, growing, working, serving church, and it should be that way as well. We have a lot of opportunities here. From the handbells, who aren't here today, from the handbells. One Reading rent the whole handbell thing. Five people went to it. From the handbells to the sewing, knitting, tying, tearing class, to the dirty hand group, that's a loving hand group, to the dirty hand group, which I get around the yard and work. I mean, you are an active people. And if you want to do something, don't tell too many people. They'll find something for you to do. I promise you that. But volunteer, and we'll take that up real quick. That is what a church should be known as, a place that cares. We've given money to educate the ladies who are considering abortions and clothing and stuff. We've given money to missionaries. That is what we should be known of. It should be a caring church from everywhere. I mean, this is the most non-homogenated church I have ever seen. Probably 20 different states are represented, even though you won't admit it. They tell how you turn to God from idols and serve the living and true God. Your actions will tell that. By the way you speak, by the way you respond to others, how positive you are versus negative. I talked to a person the other day going through a tough time. Nobody here. Going through a tough time in their life. I said, you know what? You're despondent. Well, what does that mean? I gave him a definition for despondent. I said, you're right. What do I do now? I said, you realize how much control you didn't have over what made you despondent? And you go and find something that makes you happy. Because we can stand around and sing, oh, woe is me, oh, woe is me, the rest of our lives, and we get absolutely nowhere. Or we can get fired up and motivated and find somebody else that's not as good a shape as we are. Things like the Samaritan's purse. Those kids will never have again what we're going to give them, the situation they're in their life, but they're going to appreciate it the one time. And if they get the Bible track, it may even help them that way. We support the missionaries where the gospel is being written. So these pioneer Bible translators, they don't even have a written language. We've got to write a language for them first. Not we. They've got to write a language for them first and then write the scriptures. I was asked while we had our class reunion 2-3 weeks ago, how's it in Florida? I said, man, it's amazing. I said, we got people from every part of the world. He said, how you talk to them? I said, well, I have found out since I went down there that I am tri-languaged. Not bi-language, I'm tri-language. They said, what? I said, yes. Now that I've gotten down there and talked to people every day, I found out that I speak English and redneck and hillbilly. And between the three of those, somebody's got to understand them. Find something to be happy about this week. Realize how blessed we truly are this week. Yes, okay, I will admit, for the next 52 weeks, you're going to hear more commercials about something that's going on in Washington, D.C. that you don't want to hear about. The basketball season's coming. Be happy. Wait for this God from idols, living and true God, verse 10, and to wait for his son from heaven. To wait. Paul will be mentioned in the book of Thessalonians, the coming of Jesus back. The rapture. The return for his children. That's going to be very interesting. For the next several chapters, very interesting what's going on. To wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us. Last three words, four words, from the coming wrath. Don't worry about the tribulation. Don't worry about the 7 years of Satan. Don't worry about anything because God's got it all taken care of. Let's enjoy. Our hymn of invitation, decision.